Good morning. Let's begin our EMP for today. Let's go to our reading. First, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. And then Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as a fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Let's just stop there. So, amen. Dear God, we thank you for this morning where we can come together and read your word and worship together and pray together. We humble ourselves before you. God, I pray right now that you would silence any distractions. Help us to focus only on you. Pray that you would speak to us, God. Open our ears and our heart. And Holy Spirit, we honor you. We ask that you would come and fill this place. I pray, Lord, if needed, bring conviction. I pray that you would bring, allow these words to speak truth in love, God, to everyone who's hearing. So, Lord, we thank you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, guys. Morning. And so today, it's a little bit, so I wanted to talk about the Holy Spirit, and it's a very big, complicated topic, obviously, but I don't know if you know, but tomorrow is actually Pentecost Sunday. So we just read about Pentecost, what happened when God first poured out his Spirit on a great number of people. On his apostles and his disciples. That's tomorrow. It could happen to us as well. So, amen. So I wanted to, I just sensed that God wanted me to share about the Holy Spirit. I actually had something else planned, and then I felt like this. So I'm moving with faith. Amen. That this is going to touch some people. So let me tell you what we're doing today. We're going to review some facts about the Holy. So when we talk about the Holy Spirit, it can be, the reason I'm sensitive is because some people don't fully agree with everything about the Holy Spirit. So I know that we believe, 99% of all Christians, we believe in the same thing. So I'm going to just focus on what we all do believe in. But anyway, I'm going to review some facts about the Holy Spirit. Then I want to kind of impress upon you why we should be filled with the Holy Spirit, what does this mean, and how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to end with some thoughts, and hopefully Holy Spirit will bring a deposit that's better than my sentences. So, okay, some facts about the Holy Spirit. First, at the end of Luke, Jesus very clearly told his apostles to wait in Jerusalem to be clothed with power from on high, when they will receive power from the Holy Spirit. So this was commanded by Jesus himself, right? That people should receive the Holy Spirit. That's number one. And as all we know, I'm just going to go quickly through here. Holy Spirit, as many of you, if you've attended Solomon's Porch, you would know, is actually a part of the Trinity, Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, in the Bible, it's very clear. Let's say in John 3:8, when Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit, he could have used different terms. He could have called it. Instead, he called it he. So what does that mean? It means that it is a person. Just like how Father God has a personality and Jesus had a personality, Holy Spirit is another personage of God. So that's another key point. It's a part of, it's a personage of the Trinity, and it has a he has a personality. Jesus on purpose did not use the word it, but he used he. Okay. So again, a distinct person and has all the attributes of a person. For example, we would know in Ephesians 4:30, Paul writes, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." Think about this. Can you grieve a car? Can you grieve your taco? No, because those are objects. But the very fact that Paul says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit," it tells us, oh, okay, it's a person, it's a personality. Now, also think about this. Do you know what Jesus said was the only unpardonable sin? You cannot blaspheme the Holy Spirit. That is the unforgivable sin. Father God, Jesus, care very much about the Holy Spirit. They are very protective of the Holy Spirit. So let's keep this in mind, okay? So Holy Spirit, very important. Thank God, I think in this pulpit, Solomon's Porch, we've been taught very well, and we give, you know, due glory to Holy Spirit, but I think a lot of times, even though that's the case, we forget. Holy Spirit, it's very so often to think of it Star Wars, the Force, and that's so wrong, but it seeps into our thinking, which is why I am trying to emphasize today, it is not a force, it is not a force, it is a person, okay. Okay, here's another fact. In the Old Testament, only a few select people had the privilege of receiving the Holy Spirit. Who were these? They were the kings. You know, we know that Saul received the Holy Spirit and then he was able to prophesy. David had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We also know that some prophets had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And also other people who had very special assignments. Let's say the artist who had the assignment to design the ark itself, the very presence of God on earth. He was actually the first recorded instance of a man receiving the Holy Spirit. And then he had the anointing to design and build the ark. But it was very rare. But praise God, on the other side of the cross, as we just read, Jesus said, I will send the Holy Spirit to all my believers. So that's why we can all receive the Holy Spirit now. Now, when you are saved, I'll be very clear about this. This is a key point. I believe there are some different thoughts here, but I think what we believe is that when you are saved, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Scripture says, let's say in 1 Corinthians 12:13, that for in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. And also in Ephesians 1:13, it says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." And in Romans 8:9, it says, "Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." So what I want to say is when you are saved, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you and gives life to your spirit man who was dead before, but now becomes alive through the Holy Spirit. So when you become Christian, you do receive the Holy Spirit. But this is different than being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me explain. So because this is where there's some controversy, and to be honest, if you don't really think about it, you don't really, because people say different things about this and that leads to confusion. So I want to be very clear. In Ephesians, So again, when you receive Jesus, you become a believer, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you, but you must be continually filled. Now, for example, I'll go to the text. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul writes, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." And as some of you may know, this is not the best translation. It actually should be, "Instead, be filled with the Spirit and continually filled with the Spirit." Because he uses a present tense verb in this Greek. So if he wanted to say just a one-time filling, he could have said, use the past tense or a future verb tense. Instead, he chose the present tense to note that the filling of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event, but actually a continual experience. So we must remember, Scripture says very clearly, we must be continually filled with the Spirit, not just once or twice. And praise God, most people would agree with this. Now, let's also note, it's a command, right? It wasn't a nice suggestion. It wasn't like, when you go to airplanes, it says in the bathroom, "May we kindly suggest that you wash the basin after you have washed your hands for the next customer." It's not a gentle reminder. Paul was saying, you must be filled and continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a very important thing. We all believers, we need to be filled, directed, and empowered by the Holy Spirit continually every day of our lives. So let's also, let's just go to Acts, right? Because I really want to impress this upon you. If you go to Acts 4:31, actually, you don't have to go, I'll read it for you. What did we just read? Acts 2. The disciples, the apostles, the 120 in the upper room, they were praying and worshiping continually and waiting for the whole promised Holy Spirit to come. So they were filled with the Holy Spirit, yes? Things shook, the tongues of fire came. Okay, great. Now, but what happens in Acts 4:31? I'll read it for you. And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. Okay, we just saw they were filled with the Holy Spirit. In chapter 4:31, we see they were filled with the Holy Spirit again. So I hope it's very clear. We must be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, why should you be filled with the Holy Spirit? Okay, you understand. Fine. The text says, continually, I get it. So why should we be filled with the Holy Spirit, Jungmin? Okay. Number one, Jesus said so. Right, as we discussed in Luke 24:49, before Jesus, after he is crucified and raised from the dead, and then before he goes back to heaven, before he's glorified and ascends back to heaven, when his last thing that he tells them to his disciples is, "You are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high, because I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you." Yeah, amen. So, Jesus says it. Number one, we should obey. But also, there's a few other benefits. Let me impress this upon you. Number one, as you know, Holy Spirit, he is the comforter. He's the helper. John 14:16-17 records Jesus saying, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Here, the Greek word is translated as helper or comforter, and it is someone who is called alongside, providing the idea of a guide or encourager during times of need. And as I mentioned, a teacher and a guide. It says that, in John 14:16-17, we had just read another part of John 14, that you will have... John 14, 26, it says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Okay, so Holy Spirit, he guides you, he comforts you when you're broken, but also he will teach you, he will guide you, he will remind you of the truth of God when you need it. I'm just going to go quickly through here. So Galatians 5, 22, 26. You have, many people have heard. All the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the things that happen when the Holy Spirit comes and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. These will be the fruit that come out externally. Galatians 5, 22 to 26. Actually, I like the Message version. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Amen. Even just for that, I would want the Holy Spirit. Sounds like a good deal. But even then, moving on, Holy Spirit provides conviction of sin for us. John 16:8 notes, when the Holy Spirit comes, this is Jesus, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And this is a biggie, what we just read, right? In Acts 1, we read, when the Holy Spirit comes, what did we just read that, the Holy Spirit, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Friends, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is overflowing out of you, and you are walking in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts, you're going to have the power to be a witness for God. Yeah? I mean, I'll share it later. But so 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12, verse 3 to 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, 10 to 11. Because I want to keep it briefer, I'm not going to read all the text. But it says that each believer has at least one of the spiritual gifts. At least one, and many. It's likely that they have many. And each person is specially gifted for the calling and the purpose that God has prepared for him or her. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And the gifts are given to allow the church to work together to meet their needs, make disciples, and glorify God. Yeah, so this is power, especially to be a witness for God. Now, let's go to the text in Acts 2, and I'll read it for you. Just listen. But let me tell you, let's see an example of what happens after, before Holy Spirit, after Holy Spirit. Okay, sorry. So we just read in the first part of chapter 2, Holy Spirit came, and all these, the power came, and they started, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit started manifesting, which is tongues. And then Peter preached his first public sermon, I guess. He stood up in chapter 2, verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them. And then he preached for pretty much the rest of the chapter. And you know what the fruit was? The fruit was in verse 37. And when they had heard this, all the people who were there, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. They were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And moving down, Do you know how many people got saved in that first sermon? Verse 41. Those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls. I mean, they don't have microphone systems like we do. This is just, they were, right? They were just in their room, then they spilled out onto the streets of Jerusalem, and 3,000 people got saved. That's pretty powerful anointing. Yeah? Pretty effective ministry. I mean, think about this too. We know Peter was an uneducated fisherman. Essentially, just equating it to our time, he couldn't get admitted into any of the rabbinical schools because he wasn't seen, or maybe he thought it was useless or whatever, but he didn't get enough training. It's not like he went to college for, you know, knowing the Old Testament. But do you know, in chapter 2, Joel just comes right out of rolling off of his tongue. And then the Psalms comes rolling off of his tongue. He just is able to speak these Old Testament passages because the Holy Spirit is speaking, giving him unction and telling him what to say. So the uneducated fisherman is able to quote the Old Testament and speak so eloquently, supernaturally, powerfully effective. Wow. And so 3,000 people became Christian. And then what happens? Also, Peter and the apostles become so bold. You know, in chapter 4, so what happens is in chapter 2, they do this great thing. And then, of course, the religious spirit isn't happy, and the leaders of Israel, the ones who crucified Jesus, they say, what is this? And then they drag him along, they bring him before them and say, what are you doing? And they say, they give an account for what they did. and then they threaten him and say, they're healing the lame beggar in the Gate Beautiful in chapter 3, and then they're arrested by the leaders of the Israelites, and then they're threatened, saying, stop saying this, otherwise we're going to arrest you, and, you know, I mean, we crucified Jesus, why can't we crucify you? But what does Peter and John say? They say, hey, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Let's remember, this is the same Peter a few days ago did not have the courage or boldness to stand up for Jesus in front of a servant girl. That same Jesus is now standing in public before all the Sanhedrin and the Israelites and the high priest and saying, you can, whatever you want to do to me, but I can't stop preaching the word. When the Holy Spirit comes, it brings boldness. And actually later, even after they were flogged in Acts 5, do you know what they did? They were flogged because they would not stop preaching. And you know what they did? They were flogged, they were released, and then they went home praising God because they were seen as worthy to suffer for Christ. What a change. This is just like maybe a week or 2 weeks, but this is what happens. You know, finally, I was reading this Jackie Pullinger testimony. So Jackie Pullinger, I don't know if you know, but this is this lady who came to Hong Kong decades ago, didn't really speak the language. She had a lot of brokenness and stuff, and she met God, and she became Christian, and she wanted to be a missionary. She was told, get onto a boat, and then ask God where you should get off, and that will be your mission field. I mean, I guess that's how sometimes they do it. Amen. So she feels like, okay, Hong Kong. She gets off in Hong Kong. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't speak the language. But then she tries to, she finds out this Kowloon Walled City. And as you know, Kowloon Walled City back in the day was in between area, between the communist China and where the British were controlling the colony. So it was a total lawless zone. You know, it was a drug den, gangs ruled it. It was pretty terrible, but she felt called to go there. But guess what? When she's trying to talk to these people, she can't speak the language, she can't do anything, and they're drug addicts. So they're like child prostitutes. She tries to do what she was taught, which is sharing the gospel with the booklet. She says she was taught to share the booklet with the book. Like, there's a little booklet, you can give booklets. But then, first of all, most of them are illiterate. Number two, for them, I guess in the Confucian, the Chinese culture, they're like, I'm uneducated. You mean to be Christian, I have to be able to read and be educated? I can't do this. So she realized everything that she had been taught as a missionary, it doesn't work. So then after a lot of fits and starts, by the way, she also was not necessarily filled with the Holy Spirit. She didn't have these gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially tongues. But she was so desperate. One day she saw some people and she said, she thought they might have this anointing. So she said, could you pray for me? And then she was able to do tongues, but she didn't really believe it. Long story short, her whole drug addict ministry became like just praying for people on the street, just praying for people who were broken and just praying for them to be healed of, not healed, or released from drug addiction. And they would just pray in tongues because she couldn't really communicate with them and there was nothing she could really do. And then people would be set free. The power of God manifesting. People would be set free from drug addiction. People would be set free from, you know, these Johns would become Christian. These prostitutes would become Christian. These gang members would become Christian. And, you know, you can read all this in her book, you know, Chasing the Dragon. But, yeah. So why do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why do you not want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Amen. You know, Acts, the book of Acts should really be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, not the Acts of the Apostles. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get to be led by God, you have a full life, you have a life that is naturally supernatural. And actually, we should really be asking ourselves, this Acts, what is happening here, how come that's not happening now? How come this is not happening now? I remember, you know, you read so many testimonies of people, missionaries who are in Africa or people to our north and places like that. And they say, hey, you know, so we're reading your Bible. Yeah, they become Christian. We're reading your Bible. How come you don't do the stuff? How come you don't do this? And I guess a lot of missionaries say, you know, well, blah, blah, blah. But maybe we could ask more of God. Friends, maybe we need to ask more of God. Maybe we need to have a bigger vision. You know, you have not because you ask not, right? But we have seen what God can do through men. Why can't the same thing happen again, right? Hong Kong, in our community, I mean, praise God, it does happen in our community, but what about on the streets? You know, I know that there are some churches like Bethel, they actively go and do what they call treasure hunting. They, on Friday nights, young kids get together and they pray, God, who do you want us to minister to today? And they wait until they hear something. And then they see like a woman with a red scarf sitting somewhere. So they're like, I sense God telling us, let's go to the Shake Shack. So they go over. And then they're looking around, okay. And then they see someone in a red scarf. Then they start talking. And then they start praying. And we really feel like we're supposed to pray this for you. Person gets saved. Amen. Maybe person doesn't get saved, but at least they tried. Yeah? Okay. I hope something's stirring. Yes? We don't want to do church. What is the point? We don't want to waste our time here. We don't want to waste our time here, right? Man, can you imagine? We get before the throne of Christ, you know, and we see Jesus. And Jesus, he lays out and I'm sure he'll be very gracious about it, but, you know, and we're in heaven then, but he'll say, this is what, you know, so God, you know, Ephesians, what we just read, you know, all the things that I was called to do, I have the ability to do because God gives me the power and the anointing and the ability to accomplish all that he has called me to do. From the beginning of the world, he knows what I'm going to do, and he gives me the anointing. So I stand before him and I say, okay, here's my crowns. And Jesus says, well, you had about 1,000 more, but you didn't say yes. So it was left. But it's okay. I mean, you know, yeah, good, faithful servant, but still, you know, something left undone. You didn't live your life to the fullest. You weren't a good steward. And it's okay, but it's an adventure that God's calling us to, right? So do we want to say yes to this or not? It's okay if you don't want to say yes to it. I mean, you're still going to heaven. But I think there's more than that. Yes? Okay, so let's go to this. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so not a one sermon kind of thing, and definitely not a 5-minute kind of thing, but here are just some guidelines and some thoughts, okay? I want to be really clear, because I think in my Christian walk, sometimes this was not very clear to me. To be very clear, as a child of God, saved by Jesus, you have the privilege of the Holy Spirit, okay? Holy Spirit is a gift that Jesus has said, I will send to you, okay? It's something that is given to us when you become Christian. Luke 11:13, Jesus said to his disciples, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I want you to think about this. How many times have we used this verse saying, oh, you see? Yeah, you know, you're a good father. Father God is a good father. He'll give you the Ferrari. Because, you know, he's a good father. And you being an earthly father, you want to give good gifts to your kid. How much more do you think the Heavenly Father wants to give you your Ferrari? I mean, I'm not saying it's taught like that. But let's be honest. Let's be really honest. We don't really read the text correctly. Yeah? We read it as like, Father God. Yeah, okay, forget the Ferrari. I'm being very facetious and extreme. But a lot of times we're like, Father God, my promotion. Oh, but Father God, you're a good father. Yeah, you have Jeremiah 29:11, you know, and it's true. But I'm just saying, we use it as like, I have a good plan to bless you, a plan to prosper you, da, 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 da. Yes, of course he does. He's a good father. But we're essentially taking like little trinkets and equating it to pearls. Jesus was saying, Father God is a good father. Even you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Father God, to him, one of the greatest things he could give you was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was the pearl. And we are so easily satisfied, and we take trinkets and put it into the place of this thing. We say, my promotion, hey, marriage, everything, right? A good, whatever it is, dot, 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 you want to put in there. And we put it in this thing and say, Father God is a good father. Oh my goodness, how easily we are satisfied, right? It's like what C.S. Lewis says. He so eloquently puts it. Like, it's like a little kid. And he's so satisfied with the little mud puddle in front of his house. And this baby, toddler, will refuse to leave the mud puddle. Because I love the mud puddle. It's all I've known. I can grasp the mud puddle. I've seen a mud puddle. It's comfortable. And I can understand the mud puddle in my mind. But when the dad says, hey, you know, let's take an hour drive and I'll show you something called the beach and I'll show you something called the Pacific Ocean, and the baby is like, no, I don't want to leave. How often do we do this? How often are we so easily satisfied? Holy Spirit, the gift, right, that Jesus went to be glorified so that he said, hey, you should be thankful that I'm actually going to be glorified and get crucified and go, because then you're going to have the Holy Spirit. You should be thankful. You should be happy this is going to happen. Yeah? I mean, John 14, right? What I just said. Jesus, the night before he's crucified, so he tells his disciples, first of all, he's revealed that he's the Messiah. Then he tells them, I'm leaving. And all the disciples, what? Oh my goodness, we followed you all this. You're leaving? What is going on? But then he's saying, Jesus says in verse 16, I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans, etc., etc. Now, there's some disagreement, and honestly, this is above my pay grade, and I think actually my role when we preach is let's focus on what can build you up. But just to be thorough, there is some disagreement about when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the believer. But I really struggled with this, and I was trying to figure it out because this was all new. This message is coming out of because God told me you need to know more about the Holy Spirit, so I'm just sharing what I've heard. My takeaway is It's not that important. Everybody agrees, whether the second blessing or whatever, whatever, everybody agrees you better have the Holy Spirit. And you better be filled and continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's very clear. So that's what we can focus on, okay? Now, though, what's important? Well, your heart attitude better be, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you better be ready to submit to His leading. So key. You better be ready to submit to His leading. Galatians 5:25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You know, you cannot have two masters. Jesus said that. Yes? I want to tell you something. You don't have to go there. It's kind of a... I realized as I was preparing for this. You know, you guys know the story. Ananias and Sapphira. If you don't know the story, let me tell you. So, people in the early church, we're talking chapter 5. Okay, so very early. Back then, they saw that some people were selling their property and giving, led by the Holy Spirit, and giving to those who needed it. So, very great. And then Ananias and Sapphira, they kind of got jealous of the honor that some of these people got. But yet, so they went and, hey, let's sell our property, that land, you know, over there, that Wan Chai, you know, avenue, let's say. I own an avenue apartment. Not me, but let's say they own an avenue apartment or something. And they say, let's sell it. And, hey, we want the honor. We want to give it. But, oh, all of it's a bit too much. So let's keep 70% of it. I'm sorry, let's keep 30% of it, I don't know, or half of it, and we'll give the rest. But we'll tell them that actually, oh, you know, this is all of it. We sold it, and we gave all of it to you. Isn't it nice? Am I not worthy of your praise? Right? Something like that. You know what happened? They come, they lay the money before Peter and the apostles. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, why would you dare to lie to the Holy Spirit and to God? Why in the world would you lie to us and tell me that this you've brought the whole amount? And then he says, because you have lied to the Holy Spirit, you'll die. And Ananias, right there, he died. And then the young men, they carried him out. And then Sapphira, his wife, came. And Peter asked, is this the full amount? And Sapphira said, oh, yes, it is. By the way, where's my husband? And then Peter says, how dare you? Why would you do this? Why would you lie to God, to the Holy Spirit? And you also will fall dead. And she fell dead. Here's the thing. How many people in church in Solomon's Porch lie? How many lie? How many have lied? Are you dead? No. What happened? What do you think happened? See? Holy Spirit cannot be in a place. He is holy. He cannot be where there is sin. Now, in the Acts, this is, I mean, I hope I'm not wrong, but this is just what I thought. In this time, see, God in His mercy, many times, it's either you sin, you cannot, you know, Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, when you lie, it's like what R.T. Kendall said, right? Like a dove, very antsy, will fly away. It's to save you. It's so that the judgment of God doesn't need to come upon you necessarily right now, right? But back then, that couldn't happen. Holy Spirit needed to be there. So it was either Ananias and Sapphira needed to go, or Holy Spirit needed to go, and Holy Spirit wasn't going to go this time. You need to be ready to be led by the Holy Spirit. And you need to not offend the Holy Spirit. You need to be holy. And finally, you need to be asked to be filled. You need to be hungry. It's so clear, right? We just read. I mean, it's just such a, it's definitely, of course, an obvious thing, but maybe we forget. Like, again, I want to tell you, receiving the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit, and being filled with the Holy Spirit is a gift from God. He wants to give it to you, right? You just need to create the conditions that it can come and actually rest on you and actually not only just stay and leave, but actually be with you, inhabit you, like walk with you. But you got to be hungry. Yeah? So are you spending time in its presence? You know, we can see that when the Holy Spirit fell, these all the disciples, all the apostles, they were worshiping, they were praying, they were seeking God. They were hungry. Of course they were hungry. They just lost Jesus. They don't know what's happening. They're desperate. Yeah. You know, Jesus, in John 37:39, this is what he said. He said, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." And by this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. John 7:37-39. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, you'll get it. If you're thirsty, the Holy Spirit, the streams of living water will flow from within you. But you got to be thirsty. And you got to come to him and drink. Yes? Okay. Now here's the challenge. Actually, this was the main point, and then everything else was really just to try to get us here. But this is short, so don't worry. I think it's short. Let's see. You know, are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Do you even, actually, honestly, I'm speaking to myself, okay? All this stuff, this is because God spoke to me, and then I'm supposed to tell you. So often, we're not mindful of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think God wants to wake us up before Pentecost Sunday. Maybe do your business today. Do it tomorrow. But I think God's trying to speak to us about something. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Or are you trying to do things on your own? Are you just trying to live life on your own power, on your own strength, by your own will, not submitting to God, not submitting to the Holy Spirit, not being led by the Holy Spirit? How, and I don't mean just even public prayer, I mean, how is your secret prayer life? How is your time in the secret place with God? And again, I want to be very humble about this because trust me, I mean, I'm not saying I'm doing better. Yeah? You know, honestly, a lot of times, this was actually a very hard message to put together. I don't know why, but I had some migraines this week. And it's because of the theology, and I'm trying not to say something that's going to come bite me later and because I said something wrong. But I realized, how many times do I stand here and I'm trying to share a message with you guys? And I'm just trying to rub two nice sentences together. Oh, make it sound nice. Catchy title. Rub two sentences together. Oh, it'll work, you know. Hey, on my strength, I'm decently educated. I went to college. I can rub two sentences together. I can make a subject. I can make an argument, and I can expositate it, and I can present it to you. But how much am I spending time in prayer? I mean, thankfully, this week I did spend a bit more. But most of the time, how much am I really seeking to be filled with God's Holy Spirit before I try to do anything, especially ministry, but not only ministry. Your work is your ministry. Everything is your ministry. You know, everything we do is ministry. Avoda, the Hebrew word for work, is actually worship. The Hebrews, they actually didn't distinguish between the two. Let that, you know? Yeah. So, you know, I love reading Christian biographies. I love reading, like, what the forerunners of our faith and have, like, the lives that they've lived, and sometimes when they fell, but also how faithful they've been. There was this gentleman called Evan Roberts. He was one of the main people of the Welsh Revival. And if you don't know what the Welsh Revival is, pretty much, if you're Indian or Korean or Chinese, you owe a lot to the Welsh Revival. Actually, globally, you owe a lot. I mean, the Azusa Street, where Pentecostalism, you know, all the modern-day where the tongues came and this whole movement of the fastest growing denomination in the world. We have some elements of Pentecostal, you know, charismatic, all that stuff. Guess what? It came out of inspiration from the Welsh revival. You know where the Welsh revival started from? This 13-year-old young boy called Evan Roberts. He became born again at the age of 13. And he had this longing for revival to come. Not well educated. He later worked as a coal miner. 13 years he prayed for revival in Wales. And then when he was 26, revival started to happen. This is what it says of him. You know, people would come miles and miles, miles and miles, to come and hear this 26-year-old preach. Famous pastors everywhere, globally, would come. What is this? What is going on? They would come to hear this 26-year-old guy preach. You know what he'd do? He'd come. And he would have been praying all night, trying to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he would come, sit in the front. And then he would put his head between his knees and pray another 3 hours. All these people are here. Hundreds and thousands of people have come to listen to him. And he comes, and he's still praying another 3 hours. And everybody's just like, what is this? And then when he finally feels the release, he'll stand up. He preaches a 15-minute sermon. Holy Spirit comes, craziness breaks out, no one leaves. And he's done, 15-minute sermon. Paul said, I did not come and preach eloquent words, but I came and demonstrated to you the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Friends, we need the Holy Spirit. I think, honestly, starting with myself, we so often rely on our own strength and not the Holy Spirit. We're not mindful of being filled with the Holy Spirit. We don't realize that as a Christian, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. We can't do anything that's going to offend the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is a gift that God has given us so we can get it, the filling of the Holy Spirit. I really appreciated P. Nate's sermon about religious spirit. And I forget, was it last week or 2 weeks? No, it was the week before. And he said something, I think, along the lines of, the religious spirit. He said something like, we substitute religious activity. We just do religious activity, and it takes the place of God. And it's so true. And I realized, you know why? Because doing religious activity, I can control it. Doing religious activity, it's under my strength. We just do church. I mean, preach a sermon. If you've written an essay, you can do a sermon, right? It's the same thing. So preach a sermon. Do worship, 3 songs. Yay! Go home, have coffee. All churches have coffee bars, so I'm just going to put that in there, right? So, yeah, that's it. And we go home. We did church. But was there anything filled with the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, you need to be like Evan Roberts. We need to wait on God. We need to be filled with God. It's not so easy as like clicking a switch. But unfortunately, our generation, we don't know how to travail anymore. We don't know how to... I mean, I take that back. Some do, right? But it's so easy for this generation to be so convenience-oriented. I need to come to church. I click a switch, aircon is on. I click a switch, the music comes on. I need to have a good sermon. I mean, none of it is everything that man can do, not something that only God can do. Anyway, I really sensed God wants to release more in my life, and if you're listening to this in your life too, he wants to take you to the next level. He wants to come and dwell more. He needs a place where it can rest. He needs a place that is holy. You are a temple of God, but you need to clean it out. You need to repent whatever it is. You need to say, I'm willing to follow you, God, Holy Spirit, because I need your guidance. And life is only full when I'm living it, following your guidance, and filled with the fullness of the Spirit. You know, Leonard Ravenhill, he was this great English author, evangelist. He said, there are no great or small people in the kingdom of God, only the faithful and the unfaithful. Only the faithful and the unfaithful. And no man is greater than his prayer life. So let's, as Ernie comes and leads us in some worship. Oh, I'm going to throw this out too. This is so true, guys. Entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. I'm going to say that again. Entertainment is the devil's substitute for joy. I'm not saying like Netflix is evil. Of course, you know, it's not, right? But money is not evil. It's the same thing. It can be good and wrong, whatever, good or bad, however it is. But it's the mud pool. It's the mud pool versus the joy of being filled with Holy Spirit, of being in his presence, of having a deeper revelation of who he is and how he loves us. Yeah, so as Ernie leads us, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. If you're listening to this, wherever you are, tomorrow is Pentecost Sunday. I mean, I don't know if that's necessarily that huge, but we just read about Pentecost Sunday a few thousand years ago. It could happen again tomorrow in your life. It could happen now, actually. Let's ask. If you want, ask God. Well, Holy Spirit, I repent of everything I need to repent. I feel the Holy Spirit even right now, right? Anything you need to repent of, your self-sufficiency, your self-reliance, on top of obviously sins of commission, omission, you know, lying, whatever you might be doing, boyfriend stealing, I mean, girlfriend, yeah, unholy relationships, bitterness, anger, whatever. Take care of business. Clean your temple right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to come. And we thank God that, you know, he cannot deny himself. Even when we are faithless, he is faithful. He cannot deny himself. When we ask, when we humble ourselves and ask him to forgive us, he will come and forgive us. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to come. Do a big cleaning in our temple of our hearts. And ask him to come and be Lord again. Fill and fill and fill again us with the Holy Spirit. And then ask him, give me a hunger, and I want to live the real Christian life, Lord. Holy Spirit, I want to live the real Christian life. So as Ernie leads us,
more of you, Holy Spirit.
I feel like maybe today, can we intercede for the church? I feel like we intercede for the church. So continue to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But as you're filled with the Holy Spirit, may we, so we might, we'll probably not do the normal EMP prayer, but let's pray that a hunger will come, that people, spirit, man would be awakened. Cannot do the Christian thing that they've been doing. The lukewarm Christianity, no more. but real Christianity. So let's ask for God to bring conviction. It is conviction that brings life, not guilt, but conviction, the Holy Spirit conviction. And let's just pray for repentance to come. Let's pray for a hunger to come. Let's pray for our brothers and sisters. Pray for the seat to the front, to the back, to the neck, to the side, to the right and the left. Let the Holy Spirit to come and fill this sanctuary. Let's just pray for our brothers and sisters. Let's stand in the gap for them. I want to repent for my pride, Lord, and my self-sufficiency, my self-reliance, God. Lord, that I fall back so easy on the convenient, on what I can do on my own strength, Lord. And instead of waiting on you, instead of relying on you, Lord. And so I just repent for that, God. I pray that you would, I ask for your forgiveness. I ask that you would wash my heart clean, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over myself, Lord. And I thank you that you are faithful to forgive, Lord. I pray that you'll continue to remind me, God, not to be self-reliant. Yes, Lord. And Lord, we just stand in the gap for our brothers and sisters. Lord, we repent of pride. Lord, we repent of self-sufficiency. We repent of self-reliance, Lord. God, that we think that we can do it on our own strength. That, God, we are not led by the Spirit, but Lord, we are led by our flesh. Lord, we are not unsaved, Lord, but we are carnal men and women, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bring deep conviction, Lord, right now. Holy Spirit, just come. Holy Spirit, just come. Shut up.